Odd Couple, today at 5 on 13 Strong.
Good morning and welcome to the show. My name is David Letterman. If you're just joining us, we had an incredible half hour. The mayor of New York City, Ed Koch, was here nude. We don't know why. He was just here nude. You tell me. Coming up in this half hour, we have my good friend Bob Sarlat. Esther Satterfield will be singing. And Hester Mundus will be here to talk about raising a chimp in the city of New York. I have two dogs in the city of New York. And not only do they hate being here, everyone within several miles of us hates them being here. So we'll talk to... By the way, we have random information about today's audience. This is probably the only studio audience in the history of television that will be announcing the average height and weight of the audience. And you folks today, not too bad. A little short, but certainly not heavy by any consideration. The average height is 5.5 feet. Is that correct? Oh, I'm sorry, 5'2". 5'2"? What are the kindergarten kiddies, huh? The average weight is 121. That is a little porky, though, isn't it, for 5'2"? So,
Hi there, and welcome to Random Access Television. My name's Zach. Each episode of this podcast, I, along with my co-host Noss and I, watch and review a completely random TV show that is picked for us by our supercomputer from the past. This week, we're brought to you by Long Island Accents. They make everything better. Today, we're going to be talking about the short-lived daytime talk show, The David Letterman Show, from 1980. So, Noss, we obviously know who Letterman is, but so what are your thoughts on him? What's your past with Letterman?
Well, Zach, I think, as I mentioned last episode, that I'm not exactly the world's biggest Letterman fan, so I was, you know, willing to give this one a chance and see how it compares from, you know, daytime Letterman to nighttime Letterman, which, of course, I was used to watching in, you know, the 90s. He was on until pretty recently. But yeah, this little daytime venture, was this the first time he had been on his own show?
Yes, this I'll get into here. Yeah, this was the first time he had a solo show of his own.
Okay.
At least nationally. So David Letterman, born David Letterman, was born in Indianapolis, Indiana in 1947. After he went to college, he was kind of adrift, and he was watching a local talk show called The Paul Dixon Show out of Cincinnati, and it inspired him to eventually basically become Paul Dixon. I watched a bunch of clips for this at a time, and it's very similar to Dave's general attitude, the absurd humor. Uh-huh. And like for instance, the one whole episode that's on YouTube involves an elaborate wedding ceremony for a rubber chicken.
Oh, that's so very Letterman-esque. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
So he got a start, as a lot of talk show hosts did back then, not with stand-up like they do now, but in radio and TV, local TV. So there was a TV channel in Indiana where he was the news anchor, the weatherman, the kids show host, the late night talk show host, and he was still on radio and would host the occasional show, like a weekly 4-H talk show where they would call in about their goats or, you know, pumpkins or whatever.
Wow. Okay. So this guy's used to talking.
Right. I mean, that's basically, he wanted to be a talk show.
Right.
So he was always kind of unpredictable, even in the early 70s. Like, for instance, in his weather reports, he would sometimes slip in fake town names.
Okay.
And absurd weather, like it's going to be hailing, the size of toilet tanks, things like that. So 1975, after doing that for about 5 years, he moved to L.A. and began doing stand-up at the Legendary Comic Store, where Good Time star Jimmy J.J. Walker hired him to write jokes for him. And this kind of led to him being a personality on national television.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, like a personality is, it, back then it was a much bigger thing.
Definitely.
So there were so many people who were, they were on talk shows all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were on variety shows all the time. They would guest on game shows or host game shows, but they weren't actors necessarily.
Right.
They were just kind of people. I mean, the closest I can think of to is like a lot of SNL people now. Like Leslie Jones, for instance, she doesn't really act, but she hosts some game shows and she's on talk shows and law and on other game shows. I mean, we don't really have the variety shows anymore.
Yeah, I would think like almost, I mean, a little bit analogous to maybe like for some of you out there who were like a little younger or a little older, I should say, like Carson Daly a little bit.
Yeah, something like that. But he was also a Carson Daly, or I was also thinking Ryan Seacrest, but they came from music, not comedy. True. So it's a little different. And all three of these people were much more successful than Dave was before this show came out. He had also been a regular on a couple of variety shows. And variety shows back in the day used to have usually a star and then a house band and then sometimes house dance troupes. Mm-hmm. And then we'd also have like kind of like a Saturday Night Live rotating cast of sketch people.
Yeah.
But they weren't like they weren't in the opening credits. They just kind of were there. And he was in that on one that was for the Starlight Vocal Band, had their own variety show for a while. And then Mary Tyler Moore had one.
Okay, yeah. He was in that. Okay.
So eventually all this paid off. NBC canceled three game shows in the spring of 1980. And they decided to give Letterman his first ever headline gig in this show titled The David Letterman Show. It was a 90-minute talk show out of New York that aired 90 episodes between June 23rd and October 24th, 1980.
Oh, hey, it started on my birthday. Woo!
Well,
I mean, you know, long
you weren't alive
I wasn't
yet,
alive but... yet, but you know, whatever.
So this wasn't quite the typical talk show for the time.
No.
But at the same time, it really wasn't that different. Like, for instance, and we'll just get into this real quick. The episode we watched is the second episode that ever aired. It's available on our YouTube link. Well, I guess we'll just get into this now. What did you think?
Well, so it's not exactly what I would call too terribly different from his later shows.
Not at all.
And, you know, the only thing that was, I would say, notable is that at the top of the show and at the bottom of the show, there was like a 2-minute newscast.
Yeah. That like completely straight news.
Yeah.
Straight face, straight laced. I mean, I wasn't expecting
I wasn't expecting
like a weekend update,
no.
But I didn't expect it to be talking about inflation numbers and Jimmy Carter's visit to Yugoslavia.
Right. Like, I totally, like, he's like, oh, and now we go to the news. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to get, like, a weekend update, like, SNL type thing. And then all of a sudden he starts talking about, like, OPEC. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's real news. I mean,
yeah, that was Edwin Newman. He had been on NBC TV since basically it started as kind of one of their serious newsmen. And it was really awkward because at the end of each one, they're like 30 seconds of banter between him
it
and the newsman.
It was so awkward. Yeah.
Clearly uncomfortable. I mean, the whole thing was kind of uncomfortable because, I mean, the one thing you texted to me was that he looked nervous.
He was nervous. He started out like at the very beginning, kind of, you know, how in typical talk shows, a host will sort of like descend past the audience and he kept messing up his lines, like not seriously, but just flubbing the beginning of sentences. You could tell he was extremely nervous.
You know, it's kind of funny. I've actually been watching a talk show from the same era lately, the Jim Nabors show.
Oh, okay.
He had a talk show for 3 months in 1978, and it's inexplicably on Amazon with all the music, including the rights, which I have no idea how the heck they managed to do that, or maybe they didn't bother to tell the bands that they were doing it. I don't know.
I wonder about that. Yeah, interesting.
But it started with the same sort of thing. It would always start with Jim out in the audience. I haven't watched a lot of talk shows other than The Tonight Show, which is a whole different ball of wax from that era. So it was kind of interesting to see that. And then later on in the similarity department. So did you recognize Edie McClurg as the last quote unquote guest, the housewife?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. So that last guest he had, the housewife, that was actress Edie McClure, who was also a writer for the show, playing a character.
Okay. No. I mean, I figured it was like a bit or a skit type thing, but I just sort of, at that point, it was, so this first episode was an hour and a half long.
Correct,
plus the YouTube cast, which is in our fun little YouTube list that you can see on our Twitter and everything like that. It contains all the original commercials.
Right.
So by the end of the hour and a half, I was a little like, okay, let's wrap
this
up a little.
It was too long.
It was definitely geared toward, it reminded me very much of, you get sort of those local news morning shows that are on nowadays where it's just like a housewife will have them on in the background.
Right.
It's, you don't have to pay attention to it unless you want to.
Right. And that's the basics of it. But his humor generally works if you are paying attention, because it's not, it's, his humor isn't exactly broad or verbal. It's very, I would call it obtuse, sometimes annoyingly so.
Yeah.
And it's not the, you, it's a, when Letterman is at his most Letterman, whether it's a good bit or a bad bit, you kind of have to be paying attention to get the subtleties, because sometimes, I mean, sometimes the subtleties are too subtle and the joke just bombs.
Right.
Although some people, you know, anti-comedy or whatever, but yeah. So Edie McClurg there, she's, you've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right?
Sure. Yeah.
She's the assistant in that, the assistant to the principal. And she does that exact same shtick in that. She also did the same shtick on the Hogan Family, which if we ever get to, that'll be an interesting episode. That was very similar to, there was a show in the late 70s, a satirical talk show called Fernwood Tonight.
Okay.
With the number two, hosted by Fred Willard and Martin Mull. But they were playing characters hosting a small town talk show in the fictional town of Fernwood. And so every guest that would come on, it was an actor playing a bit.
Okay.
And sometimes it was the same actors over and over. So, for instance, in the first episode, and it's the only one I've seen in its entirety because it was the only one on YouTube for a while, the guest is this guy, and it's a guy who happened to be passing through town, quote unquote. And the sheriff brought him in because it was the first Jew they'd ever seen.
Oh.
So the segment was Ask a Jew.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. That's funny. That's cute. Yeah.
And so Edie McClurg was kind of playing a character like that.
Again, it wasn't necessarily out of place if you know Letterman, but right. I thought it was a little out of place in this particular.
Yeah, especially because, like, I mean, this aired between the Today Show and Days of Our Lives, I think. It's just not a, I mean, the ads, if you watch the ads, they are so targeted at housewives in such a ridiculous, almost offensive way.
I mean, when you look at them, it seems like a parody. At this point, you watch them and you're like, this is from the past. I mean, stuff like there was an ad for douches, which is like, oh, I'm feeling so, you know, fresh and clean.
This one was special because it had the specially designed bottle.
Exactly.
That was their big selling point.
There was stuff for cleaning supplies, for cat food, lots of cat food commercials.
Cat and dog food. It was funny because everything was either about weight loss, smelling good, or cleaning something, and then pet food.
Yeah.
That was the only categories there were. I didn't see an ad for a car or like McDonald's or a movie or anything.
The only thing that geared maybe a little bit towards men, but it was because women were buying it, was the toothpaste for smokers. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it was just, it happened to be a male in the commercial.
Right.
Talking about his teeth being yellow from smoking cigars.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But other than that, yeah, every single ad, it was clearly geared towards women, and there was predominantly women in the studio audience as well.
Right. So let me just do a quick rundown of the show. So it's 90 minutes. It was a long show. So he starts off in the audience, making some bad jokes about his hair that just bombed, and then he was trying to get somebody from the audience to take down the minutes of the show, and then give a report at the end, like it's, you know, high school or something. And
that, so we talk. That woman from San Francisco was not amused.
No, actually, let me go ahead. I have pulled a clip of her.
Oh, good.
She was sassy, but she agreed to do it anyways.
Car, where are you from?
San Francisco.
Oh, that's quite a ways from here. You must be on vacation.
Yes, yeah. And business with my husband.
What kind of business are you in?
He's in business. I keep him happy. That's my business.
But I think that's the oldest business, too, isn't it? When you, what was your name again? I forgot.
Carol.
I'm going to ask you, do you mind, hold that.
Go ahead.
Say hello to the folks back in San Francisco, if you like, Carol.
Hi, folks.
Boy, back home. Oh boy, she's saying hello. Now, here, do you mind doing this? If you don't mind, we'll get somebody else to do this.
Okay, I mind.
Now I'm stuck with a kid here with the magazine.
I'd love to take notes.
There you go. What an attitude, huh, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, so they do the minutes shtick that you just heard, and then the news comes in and completely kills the entire momentum,
right?
Because he's talking about the inflation index.
Right.
And then I believe there was a singer in there. So there's a bunch of guests on this, and I had heard of only one of them.
Same here.
Will Schreiner, who's a comedian. He comes in later. And so the singer comes in, sings okay.
She's fine,
but
yeah.
Fine.
I think she seems like a vague, like, disco soul type singer.
But I mean, I watched this 2 days ago, and until I was going through pulling clips for this, I had forgot there was a singer on the show.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And then they had these travel writers on, and I thought that was pretty interesting, those travel writers.
I loved them. It was a husband and wife team, and they were just such a funny little quirky married couple.
Mm-hmm,
absolutely
totally.
Adorable. You have the woman, like, one thing I will point out, all the female guests he had were amazing.
Yes.
But absolutely fantastic. They, you know, the wife walks out, and, you know, she's a bigger woman, and she's like, as you can tell, I love food. And it was like, aw, honey. Like, adorable. It was adorable.
Yeah, they were great, because, I mean, sort of thing where I try to look for their book. It's long out of print. But,
okay.
They were just, you know, the book was them kind of doing a diners, drive-ins, and dives. They went around the country eating bad food, and they had some really funny stories about it. You know, pretty typical talk show show host, and I was actually kind of surprised because Letterman did a decent job interviewing them. Right.
It's one thing that I can't stand about more modern Letterman interviews is that he interrupts people constantly.
Well, it's funny because I have about the same attitude with Letterman as you do. I heard, you know, I was a Comedy Central watching kid when I was a teenager, and, you know, I'd heard nothing but people talking about him as the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
And so I watched some of his 90s show, which by this point he was a CBS show and he's much older. Right. And it's like, okay, one bit per week is pretty funny, but the rest of it, he just comes across as really arrogant and kind of mean. But if I watch the older ones, like the Lettermans from the early 80s, I can really see why people did that. But just something about him aging, maybe, I don't know, personal life, whatever. I don't want to speculate, but The later stuff just left me completely cold.
Totally.
So this I actually kind of like. This is the sort of show that, I don't know, not to spoil the review segment of the show or anything, but this is the sort of show that in a different world, if there was nothing such thing as streaming or DVR, I'd have it on in the background a lot.
Yeah. I think it was definitely a very point in broadcast TV time. It would be the thing you would turn on every night like clockwork as you get ready for bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in this case, this was the daytime one, but you know what I mean.
Right. Which just keeps the show. This was really a nighttime show in the daytime. It was a really poor choice to put this on in the middle of the day.
Definitely. I mean, the comedy was very, I would say, not nighttime focused, because that sounds ridiculous, but it's just like they had one comedian on who was from San Francisco, and oh boy, this guy was...
His name was Bob Sarla.
Okay.
I looked him up today. I couldn't tell you how to spell his name, but well, let's go ahead and play a clip.
Fantastic. How are things?
Things are well. I was watching the people that were just on here talking about Amazing America.
Amazing America, yes.
Have you ever checked out a thing? Maybe the audience has too. It's something called the Wax Museum. You ever been to the Wax Museum?
I actually have. One year when I was a child, I went to a wax museum.
A better question is, how many have ever been to a wax museum twice? They advertise it kind of strange. They advertise it as if you're going to see actual movement. You know, they'll say, come to the wax museum and relive all those great moments of John Wayne's movie career. Stagecoach. Not all that much excitement going on. They're talking about...
Yeah. You hear that? Noss laughing? That's more than the audience did.
It was so bad, you guys. It was so bad.
Yeah, it just, and he was just the hackiest guy. And...
with the worst toupee imaginable. Oh,
yeah, you're right. That is a toupee.
It was just like, it looked like a muskrat, like the front of his head.
Letterman must have really liked him because I looked at his IMDb and his appearances on IMDb as self are literally only on the David Letterman show. Maybe but it was about friends. 2 or 3 times a year. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think him and Will show, he had the on this show a couple of reoccurring comedians. He was one of them. Edie McClurg was another one. Will Schreiner was on there. And Will Schreiner, who came in later on, he did this bit. It was like a fake travel log where he'd play like old silent film clips and talk over them. I thought that was really funny.
It was cute. I'm going to be totally honest. I don't think I laughed out loud that much. I thought it was like, oh, but it wasn't really bad.
Really funny. I don't know. There's like, I'm going to laugh out loud funny. And then there's the I'm smiling the entire time.
Okay.
Funny,
okay.
Which I will accept as really funny, at least in my brain. Okay. So. But I'm not generally a person who laughs out loud when I'm watching something alone.
Gotcha. So. I am sure, as you guys can all figure, I am a very animated TV and movie watcher. I am the type who, if I see something that is frustrating me, I will pick up a pillow and toss it across the room. I'll hit my husband if something crazy happens. I mean this playfully, not like an actual... I mean like a playful slap on the shoulder. Right. And I will throw soda cans. I'm very animated. So.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm glad we record this on Zoom. I'm just
asynchronously watching our shows.
Yeah. Because I'll just tell you this, when you're watching something with Nas, she is not afraid to share her opinion.
No. I mean... No, I am very loud. I'm very vocal. And it's really funny because, of course, I'm that type of person who, when I'm watching something and I'm having a moment with it, it's okay for me to have a moment. But if you're talking about like something unrelated, oh my God, I will throw things. Don't look at your phone.
Well, I'm not looking at my phone. Wait, you can't threaten me from 3,000 miles away.
Are we really that far from each other?
No, we're only like 600 miles.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I think we will be by the time this episode comes out.
That's true. Speaking of which, one thing I loved was all the additions of the Long Island people.
Yes.
And there was an adorable woman at the very beginning who was not wearing a bra.
Yeah, it was the late 70s.
Yeah. And she was great. And I'm like, I would love to hang out with you, Long Island woman, wherever you are.
So then the other guest, and she had a Long Islander New York accent too. And this was probably the highlight of the whole show.
Yes.
Was this lady, Hester something or other. I should have written that down. She wrote a book that's called No, He's Not a Monkey, He's an Ape, and He's My Son.
Which I was trying to figure out which Simpsons episode parodied that. There was some quote in some Simpsons episode. If one of you people out there is listening to this and they're like, oh, I remember when this title was parodied, please tell me because I couldn't find it anywhere.
So her name is Hester Mundus, which just sounds like a made-up name.
It really does.
That you would have said. I thought she was going to be a fake guest when the show started, but she wasn't.
She wasn't.
And she raised a chimpanzee from babyhood to adulthood in her New York City apartment, and she had some great stories about it and was brutally honest and really gave it to Dave. I really appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and play a clip of that as well here so you can see her talking about monkey defecation.
At what point did you realize you were in over your head?
Well, it started when we started telling people about it. If you tell people you're having a baby, they say, oh, congratulations. Yeah. You tell them you're getting a chimp, they tell you dirty monkey jokes. I mean, things bags over there. They make dirty, disgusting monkey
jokes.
Give me
an example of a dirty monkey joke.
I don't think I can do this. they also say they spit, they bite.
And, do they? Do they spit?
No, and they don't spit, they don't bite. Unless, you know, there's a reason to spit and bite. Children spit and bite, too. Mm-hmm. And they tell you they're incredible exhibitionists. But maybe in the zoos, the chimps don't have anything else to play with. We gave them toys. You know, I don't know. We've already had all kinds of play school toys.
Boy, I wish I could have been to some of those dinner parties, Hester. Gosh, the more you describe, the better they sound.
Okay, so she is a riot. I love this woman. I have no idea if she's still alive. Probably not. She was amazing. I want to be her friend. I don't really want to meet the chimp, but, you know, well, I hope
it's not in the clip that we played, but she, the chimp is in a zoo. But by the end of it, she said, because at a certain point, you can have chimps domestically, but at a certain point, basically, once they start to sexually mature,
got it,
you cannot have them as a pet.
Oh, when she had her second kid, and it couldn't be around the kid. Got it. Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She is still around. She's 83 years old.
Good for her.
And let's see, her other books are called 101 Ways to Avoid Reincarnation or Getting It Right the First Time.
Okay, I'm going to New York. Mundus, I'm coming for you. We're going to hang out.
Oh, and you know what? She, Boris, the chimpanzee, is still alive. Whoa! As of 2016. They had a special thing with her at the zoo in London, with her and Boris the chimp.
You know what? That's absolutely amazing. That makes this whole hour and a half long kind of dishwater talk show totally worth it.
Yeah, but it's funny because, yeah, it was the weirdest, and this is kind of the weird, and when Letterman's really working, too.
Mm-hmm.
He is the weirdest mix of bland Midwesternness with a weird New York style at the same time. He somehow is both when he's working, but he doesn't work all that much, and he did less so as he got older. I mean, he worked every day. Well, now he's retired anyway, as I'm babbling. as for the show itself, critics love the show.
Oh, yeah.
But audiences didn't.
Oh.
And most importantly, neither did the network stations. So back then, and still now, but less important now, so a network like NBC doesn't actually own the local stations.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are owned by, at the time, usually local people who are only allowed to own 5 stations at a time. So some of the local stations would only play 60 minutes of the 90 minutes.
Oh.
Or only play the last half hour, depending on what they wanted to play. They would play something local, something syndicated. As time went on, almost no stations were playing the whole 90 minutes, so they dropped it to 60 minutes.
Okay.
And then as time went on, stations were threatening to pull them completely, so they canceled the show.
Okay. That, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I kind of appreciate NBC for putting something so strange on the air in the first place, or at least allowing this guy to be him.
Yeah.
In a way that, especially of that era, they just didn't allow things like that generally.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it that. I mean, I think this was sort of the emergence of some of the more adventurous TV that we started to see throughout, like, late 70s, 80s, things like that. So I will absolutely give them credit for that. It was a leap.
But most of that was either syndicated or international, cable, or late night, like Saturday Night Live. This was in the middle of the day.
Yeah. I can't explain it other than it really was just the same show as any Letterman show.
Right. So that's actually the funny thing is it's the exact same show. Later on in this 1981, he started to do stuff like Stupid Pet Tricks and a couple of his other gigs. I think even maybe the top 10 list. But it became a quirk later on. So later on, obviously, this wasn't the end for Dave. He was given a later time slot in 1982, and that show lasted until 2015.
Right.
So the funny thing is, though, he owned the rights to the 1980s show. Anything that he did in the but he didn't own the rights to his 1982 through 93 show. But since he was reusing technical reasons, like Stupid Pet Tricks in the top 10 list, technically where it could have been NBC property, but because he had imported them from his first show, they weren't. So like, I remember when Conan O'Brien, for instance, changed networks to TBS, NBC for a while there, and I don't know how this resolved, was saying, oh, those like reoccurring bits you have, like the robot on the toilet or in the year 2000, those are NBC properties, so you can't do those on TBS.
Oh, wow.
But Letterman got around that because he owned the show outright.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating. That's...
So, like, for instance, if Jay Leno, he had, you know, the segments like Jaywalking and Headlines, mm-hmm. if he wanted to go and do a talk show somewhere else, he probably couldn't do those without NBC's permission.
Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, I was thinking about, because during the late 90s and 2000s, at times when I had a TV, I loved the Conan O'Brien, that mm-hmm, era of Conan O'Brien. It was hilarious. It was... I have no idea if you can even watch these anywhere. Probably not.
Here's clips on YouTube, but not whole episodes.
Not whole episodes. They were brilliant. And yeah. I always sort of, like, Letterman just seemed so bland compared.
Well, and I think because by the time that, by the 90s, he was, yeah. at least comparatively. I remember there was a HBO movie about the quote-unquote late-night wars.
Oh, interesting.
In the... So there was basically when Johnny Carson announced he was retiring,
right.
there was a lot of consternation about mm-hmm. who was going to replace him. Letterman was on after him, and he thought he was going to get it, and maybe even Carson thought he was going to get it. But the network, like Jay Leno, who was Carson's permanent guest host, better, and they fought, and eventually Letterman went to CBS.
Right.
But one of the conditions of him going to CBS was because he was now at 11:30 instead of 12:30, he had to tone down the silliness a little bit and have more normal guests on. So you can't have like Chris Elliott and the guy who owns the gas station around the corner on. You got to have a country music star or something like that.
Okay. That's too bad. Yeah.
And CBS was a little bit more of a less of an adventurous old people's network.
Definitely.
Than NBC is. So the censors were probably more on that. And, yeah. you know, he had gotten older. I mean, almost nobody can sustain something. He was on there for 33 years and 6,000 episodes between the two shows. That's too much for anybody.
Yeah,
to maintain anything resembling a quality, especially if you don't evolve much, and I don't know that he did.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, see, and here we go again. I've brought this up in our show here before. When you know, I'm very quick sometimes to disparage things like this that I don't like that much. But when you set it out that way. That many episodes, that many years, I have to tip my hat a little bit. That's pretty amazing.
That's like 200 episodes a year.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's not good, but you know what? I tip my hat to you, Dave, all the same.
I mean, at a certain point, TV... Not at a certain point. TV is product.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially network television or certain streaming services now. Netflix.
Yeah.
Especially in the network days, or you had to fill 30 space. Hours a yeah. week of space.
Right.
Actually, with daytime, it was like 60 hours a week right. of space. Something had to be on
yeah.
at 12:30 every
point.
Night.
That's a good point. Yeah. And
so I think it's a minor miracle that some things are, I guess just as a difference of philosophy, if something comes out and it's great under those circumstances, that's even more impressive than something like a movie, for instance. And this is the Zach crapping on movie corners.
Right.
But surprisingly, I don't think I've done this before, but if you know me in real life, it comes out a lot. Something like a movie, a carefully crafted movie that takes 10 years, that's not as impressive as a great episode to me of a TV show that they filmed in 8 days. At least to me, with a sense, and especially your television, it's like not only that, but you had to worry about sensors, you had to worry about act breaks and
right.
limitations of space and budget. Something like Conan O'Brien, early Letterman, Saturday Night Live, pick your season of choice because mm-hmm. everybody has one.
Yeah.
The doing something like that under the constraints of television is more impressive to me than most movies.
That's, yeah, I think that's a fair point. I don't always agree, but I absolutely hear what you're saying. And I will say, yeah, I mean, there are certainly snippets of, you know, skits from Mr. Show or Saturday Night Live that have impacted me just as much as something like Apocalypse Now or a great, you know, prestige type movie, and
right.
something that has made an enormous difference in my life and on culture itself. So it takes all kinds.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a fan of the quote-unquote disposable media.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. That's what we're here for.
Exactly. So, final reviews here. I'll go first this time.
Sure.
I would give this episode like a C+. It would have had potential for like a B-, probably some episodes. I'm very curious because apparently when the show was canceled, there were 3 weeks left, and he just kind of didn't give a crap anymore because he knew he couldn't be fired. The last episode's on YouTube. I might watch that out of curiosity.
I'm curious. Yeah.
Just to see what, when nobody's watching, he thinks he can get away with. Within reason.
Yeah. I think for this one, this was like a C- to me. It didn't really do it for me. It was very middle of the road. Like you said, I think there's some potential. There's probably, I loved a lot of the female guests that they had. Mm-hmm. I thought they were absolutely amazing. Most of the rest of it, whatever.
Yeah, well, and especially, they got rid of that newsman about halfway through the run, thank God.
I kind of liked it.
Oh, it just completely killed the momentum of the show. It's like, here's our hilarious guest, and now here's Jimmy Carter.
It reminded me of like when you're listening to like crappy conservative talk radio, and there'll be the weird newscasts at like the top of the hour, like President so and so has just touched down on Air Force One. It's just like, oh my God.
All right, so it is time to fire up our supercomputer. It has 10K of RAM.
Mm.
Get it on here, put the cards in the right order. And see that our next TV show is, is an oldie, but an interesting one from way back in the early 50s. Mm. It's the Nat King Cole variety show.
Fascinating.
A short-lived variety show on NBC back in the early 50s. There's a couple episodes on YouTube. They'll be in our aforementioned Random Access Television YouTube playlist. And they'll be there for y'all to watch before next time. See y'all in a fortnight.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Random Access Television. And if you haven't already, please remember to subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify podcasts. We also love to read reviews, so go ahead and leave us one. You can find us at RATVPod, that's RATVPOD at twitter.com. And if you have questions, complaints, compliments, recipes, email us at RATVPod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Bye-bye.